Delia and Nora Ephron were writing partners. They co-wrote the movies You've Got Mail, The Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants, as well as the off-Broadway hit Love, Loss, and What I Wore. Delia was an associate producer on Nora's film Sleepless in Seattle. In her latest book, Sister, Mother, Husband, Dog, novelist Delia Ephron writes that losing her older sister, Nora Ephron, was like losing an arm. It's that deranging. Nora, who wrote When Harry Met Sally, died in June of 2012 of myeloid leukemia. But for all their collaboration and closeness, Delia acknowledges that sister relationships are complicated. Sister, Mother, Husband, Dog is a collection of autobiographical essays, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Delia Ephron to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
It's very nice to have you aboard. How do essays like this book is now out in paperback, how do they age for you when you look back at them? You've written them some time ago, you've talked about them at one point, and now you're talking about them again. How do they age for you?
Oh, that's interesting, because of course I had to read it again because the paperback's being published this week, and I was going to go talk about it. And part of what this book, this collection, which is like my major food groups, is that I accomplished so much emotionally writing them. One of the great things about being a writer is you actually can get somewhere in your life by writing. And I started this collection by writing about Nora because it was in the months after she died, and I was living in a world where the street signs were missing. I'm second, so I was born a sister. I was born her sister, and she was a very powerful and fantastic older sister. And our lives were so muddied together. We borrowed lines from each other the way other sisters borrow dresses. And we had worked together, and Nora always said we shared half a brain. So I started to write about what it meant, what our sisterhood was about, and what it meant to me, and being a sister is a very powerful and very uncivilized thing. My first memory of Nora was that she bit into a tomato in such a perfect way as to squirt juice in my eye. And I think it, you know, with siblings, it goes on like that. And so there we were with, you're competitive, you know everything about each other. I know whose toes are cuter. There are four of us, or the Ephron girls, as we were called as children, and it's being a sister is just so much a part of my life, and then losing Nora was such a staggering thing for me. So I needed to write to understand it, and when I look back and reread it, I thought it helped me again to read it, and then it just surprised me, some things in it that I'd sort of already tried to block out. You know, Nora and I wrote together when she was in the hospital in the last weeks of her life.
Right.
She said, let's write together. Let's write a pilot. And it's what got us through the days. And I sort of blocked out how that seems so, now in retrospect, I just accepted it. It was part of our life. It seems amazing to me.
And beautiful. I mean, it seems like a beautiful thing to look back on.
It was very special to do it, and it was, you know, it allowed us to have the normalcy of, you know, oh, what should we have for lunch? You know, of course, the choices weren't as great as they were when we were at home, we were at the hospital, so what did we want that they sold in the lobby? But, you know, there was a kind of way that we tried to replicate normal life and keep ourselves busy and happy, and there was a moment that I wrote about that I'd actually forgotten when I reread the book this week, where I was late in the afternoon one day, and it was my turn to write a scene, and I was so tired, you know, and I looked across the room at her and I said, I just am too tired, I can't write this. And she said, yes, you can. You know, and it just gets me every time I think about it, how brave she was, and how, you know, a gift she gave me, which was, go forward, you can. Anyway, what can I say? And the minute I wrote about Nora, it unleashed a whole flood of stuff, and I started to write about how I blew my 20s, and then I started writing about my my dog, and I mean everything.
it all comes fairly
all my major
quick.
Food groups. Yeah,
yes,
right.
all the major food groups. Did you find yourself in those days with her when you were in the hospital of dissecting the relationship at all between the two of you?
No, I didn't. I think I don't know if you've ever been in that situation, but when you know you're the whole point is to get through the days, and they become your life becomes being in the hospital. I think we all know
right.
that when we've ever been in the hospital with someone who's really sick.
But
and
when
also
things...
you're a guardian too. I mean, you're trying to make sure nothing goes wrong, even though you have no idea what could exactly go wrong. So you're also in a state of heightened hyper alert kind of because you feel that the safety. I mean, I felt that the safety of my sister was in all our hands, you know, the family that was there.
I have been in that situation, and I guess the reason for the question is that, because you're absolutely right, you feel like you're trying to use the terrific word of being a guardian of trying to navigate the system and get your loved one the care that they need and you feel that they need, but by the same token, there is a point that I assume that you realize that death is either very possible or imminent. And I personally felt the necessity to sort of say what was on my mind and to just make sure that the other person knew how I felt. Did you go through that?
I guess I knew that she knew what our we were so jumbled together that I think that I felt she knew. You know, my sister sent me flowers when she was in the hospital. How crazy is that? She sent me 2 dozen peach roses, and I was thinking when I was writing, because later I really did need to make sense of it, which is why I wrote the piece, not just to write it emotionally, but really to make sense of it. And those flowers had such power to me because she was the older sister, and she was a control freak. I mean, she was a directors are like that, and she was born to be a director. And the fact that she was vulnerable, I mean, and that she wasn't the giver, she was the receiver, was so hard for her. So, you know, at the time, I just remember being very emotionally overwhelmed by getting those flowers. And then later, when I wrote about it, I started to think, boy, this is important. This is symbolic.
Were the flowers to cheer you up, or were they a thank you, do you think?
You know, I truly, they were I love you and thank you for being here every day. They were, but I felt it on a deeper level when I began to write about it, that they were also just a way, you know how in a hospital it just takes everything personal away from you, and it was her, she needed to be the giver, and how could she be the giver in this situation? And she found a way.
You write in the chapter about Nora that Nora always said that we shared half a brain. The knowledge of how similar we were, how much we appreciated each other, depended on each other, made each other laugh, could live without many other people, but not without each other, was solace and joy for both of us. How did your other two sisters fit into that?
Well, Nora came first and then me, so I was born a sister.
Yep.
And Hallie is 4 years, and then Amy is 5 years after that. And so Nora and I just had this remarkable closeness from childhood, and I am close to all my sisters and devoted to them. But because we were so tight as children, and then we were so similar too, in a way that I'm not as similar to my other sisters. And there was some way that we were sort of destined to write together, I think, at least in screenwriting. But for me, it was a terrible problem too, because I needed to, who am I, you know? I mean, if I'm collaborating with her, then I needed to have an identity of my own, and that's always a problem with sisters. You know, who are you as opposed to, because your parents are always saying things like, "Oh, I was the funny one, Nora was the smart one. You know, we had these little labels and everything. But the truth is you're not sure where they start and you begin, or they end and you begin. It's so confusing. Mm. So I always wrote books and to actually know my own stories and my own thoughts. And that's why this book, Sister, Mother, Husband, Dog, was, you know, it's not surprised me that I wrote it, because it's a, writing has always been the way I figured out who I am and where I am. Even if it's telling a novel telling a fiction, you know, a fictional story.
Right. Delia Ephron is our guest. The paperback is Sister, Mother, Husband, Dog, which is just out. One of my favorite paragraphs in this book is, I've been wondering whether Nora's refusal to reveal her illness, her decision to keep it a secret, is something people will aspire to the way they followed her advice about egg white omelets. To those people, I want to say that she wasn't always right. 5 years ago, she told me to sell my Apple stock. What do you...
Yes, she did. And you know what else? She then bought it back without telling me. So that when I complain to our mutual stockbroker about this, you know, so I hardly have any stocks, but Nora was very good in the stock market. And they said, oh, Nora bought it back. And I thought, how could she tell me to sell them? Oh, it was really very upset about it.
But what is the fact that she wanted to keep it a secret, and that she wanted to keep it just really between amongst the family and friends?
Barely friends.
So what does that say? What does that say about to you? What did that say about her? And does it just go into to what you were saying before about the qualities that made her such a good director of that she was wanted that control?
Yeah, I definitely think there was an element of that, for sure. I mean, that's why I thought those roses were so emblematic of sort of a larger story. But I also, you know, how you want to die is really how you want to live. And she wanted to live those. I mean, she was sick for 6 years. And she didn't want illness to be what her life was about. I must tell you, Nora was so much fun. And she loved fun. She was always thinking about how we could have more fun and where we would eat and what we would do and all of that. And I don't think she wanted her life or her friends' lives to be about the illness. But it was complicated. Also, you know, being famous is just a very complicated thing, because being famous means that if you say you're sick, the whole world, it has meaning to the world.
Right.
And then every time you leave the house, someone is going to mention it to you.
And when she passed, was it rewarding to see how loved she was and how people responded to her and to the loss?
It was really amazing to see the outpouring of love, and it was phenomenal. And I think it was also fueled by the fact that because it had been a secret, it was a sudden death for people.
Right.
And it was a different death for me, two reasons. It was so personal, so it was completely different. And it was also not sudden for me. It was something I'd been living with the knowledge of for 6 years, because we knew it was not curable.
What was it like when she told you?
Oh, that was just the worst. I think that was, you know, the beginning of... Have you ever had that happen to you? Someone that you love, you find... I mean,
yeah.
I was in shock. I mean, it was unthinkable to me that my life would be without her in it. It had never been without her in it. And we were such a presence daily. So... it was just, that was really overwhelming, and I almost couldn't believe it at all. It's always very shocking when someone very strong, or someone that, I mean, you think is a phone call away with the advice for everything, like which side of the ham is the top, as well as, you know, what doctor do I go to? You know what I mean?
Right.
There was nothing Nora didn't have the answer to, and it was, I don't know, it's now, you know, it's so funny, because I wrote this book now 2 years ago, and now talking about it, you know, all those feelings just sort of pour back. And it's not surprising that starting to write about her just produced a flood of both wonderful memories and other things that led me into all sorts of other areas, because I think our relationship was so central to my life.
Talk a little bit about the writing relationship, because you were successful together as writers, and that was together and separately. So was there a competition that worked for both of you, or were you beyond that?
Well, with all my sisters, and we, you know, all of us, Nora became a writer, I think, when she was born. I became it in my late 20s, not having the nerve to take it on till then. My sister Amy in her late 30s and my sister Hallie in her late 40s. I mean, the whole pressure of the family success, you can see how it played out. But with Nora and me, I had written a book called How to Eat Like a Child, which was a very successful book. And it was after that, a couple years after that, that Nora decided to become a director. She'd written that amazing movie, When Harry Met Sally, which is so brilliant.
Right.
And she didn't want to start off on the journey alone, and she called and said, would you co-write with me? And I need you to be the guardian of the script. I need you to be have my back. And so we collaborated on this wonderful Meg Wolitzer book called This Is Your Life, which the movie was This Is My Life. And it was so much fun. We were just laughing all the time. We had the best time. We had no idea how mean the movie business could be then. And really, we had so much fun on the set, you couldn't believe it. And then afterwards, you know, the movie gets tested and everyone starts criticizing you. And we thought, oh my gosh, we weren't prepared. But it just started a great, great time together. And we would work at one of our apartments and we traded back and forth, and in the beginning, it was before that you could really email stuff the way you could. So, in the beginning, we were together more than later.
And would you? Was there a harmony in the writing? Did it work? Did you find that you were on a similar page? I mean, finding that person in life that you can spend the rest of your life with or work with or you know, is one thing, but to have that sibling bond where the genetics are so similar, does that put you immediately on the same place, or does it make it much more complicated?
In our case, it usually put us in the same place, and we always tried to find the thing that was personal.
Yeah.
So when you've got mail, you know, it takes place at that time, the big bookstores like Barnes & Noble were putting the independents out of business.
Right.
It's not going on now, but it was then. And we loved books. And we were raised with books and with children's books. So we made Meg Ryan's bookstore a children's bookstore. In other words, we were always looking for the thing that was personal to both of us. And I always say when people want to collaborate, because people are always saying, oh, I want to write with so-and-so or do something with so-and-so, make sure you like the same things, that you laugh at the same things, that your taste is similar. Just because you're friends doesn't make it work. You need a shared, you know, sensibility.
Yeah. And she, as I mentioned earlier, said you had a shared brain. So I mean, there was a sense there that you could finish her thought, she could finish yours.
Yes, but sometimes, like, we worked on Hanging Up, which was my novel, and it was based on the death of my father, as opposed to her father. It was the same father, but I always believe that in families we're all single children that were born into the marriage at a different time, and that. We relate differently to each parent, and that in some way your story is completely unique in your own family. And I was very possessive of that story. And we had never worked on anything that had been one of ours originally. You know, either we came to it, at it together at the same time, but in this case, so the question was whose father, whose story, which way? And it was too personal for a successful collaboration. We ended up thinking she couldn't direct it. We didn't speak for a few weeks. We got into a fight over how it should be, which made us both miserable.
Mm.
So it's, you know, it's, what can I say, complicated.
Well, the book is a delight. It is sister, mother, husband, dog, etc. It is published by Plume. Delia Ephron, a great pleasure to talk to you this morning. Thank you very much
Thank
for sharing.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you so much. Again, the title of the book, Sister, Mother, Husband, Dog, published by Plume. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.